story you are going to hear takes place now and yesteryear, and it will happen yet again.
Tomorrow as down memory lane.
We tell of Puss in Boots, a cat with unusual talents. He leads his master by the paw from poverty to riches' door. You'll hear how Puss in Boots can talk just as well as he can walk. So listen as he whiles his way through his adventures night and day. You'll hear how Puss in Boots can talk just as well as he can walk. So listen as he whiles his way through his adventures night and day.
I can see smoke curling from the chimney of a shabby old cottage just next to a broken-down mill. And there in bed lies the old miller. Well, not really old, but feeling rather old, because he's very tired after working hard all his life. Hard as he's worked, the miller is still very poor. So he decided he's going to die and join his dear wife. I think he's calling his sons. Yes, he is. If you listen, you will hear him.
My sons, my boys, can you hear me? Come in here, my sons. Come along, come on in. I want to talk with you. It's most important.
Coming,
just
Father.
Coming, Father.
Ah, they're good. There you are. Good. Let me see now. Where shall we start? First, my boy, you're the eldest, so you must stand on my right. That's it. Now, you, my boy, you're the second eldest, or the second youngest, whichever way you choose to look at it. You must stand on my left.
Here, Father?
No, over here, on the other side of my bed, opposite your elder brother. Yes, I think left is opposite from right. Well, it looks right. I mean left. There, that's the two of you. Now, you, my boy, you're the youngest. You come and sit on the bed. Yes, that's good. No, not there. You'll sit on Puss, and he's fast asleep. Not that you'd want to sit on him if he was wide awake, would you? No, I didn't think you would. There, that's it. Here we all are, then. But, why are we all here?
Because you called us, Father.
Did I?
Yes, Father.
Well, I wonder why. I wish I could remember. I really must think. Now, let me see. Ah, perhaps it's supper time. Well, no, that can't be it. I wonder why I'm in bed. It's not bedtime. Ah, that's right now. I've remembered quite clearly. You've all got to listen very carefully, except Puss. But as he's fast asleep and most probably dreaming of milk and mouses, I won't bother to ask him to leave the room.
What did you call us for, Father?
My sons, I've decided I'm going to die very soon, but before I die, and I'll try not to do it until after we've had tea, I must tell each one of you which of my belongings you're to have. Now, as you know, I have very little, which means that as there are three of you, the most any of you can have is a third of a little, and that's a very little indeed. First of all, money. As you know, I haven't any, so that's that. I leave you all the same amount of money. None.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, don't mention it. You, eldest son, must have the mill.
Thank you, Father.
Now, the mill has brought me nothing but labour and poverty. May you have better fortune. You, my second eldest, or second youngest, whichever way you choose to look at it, will have my ass.
Oh, thank you, Father.
He's a very silly ass, of course, and just as old and weary as I, but he has twice as many legs. If you treat him with kindness, no doubt he will serve you faithfully.
Yes, Father.
Good. Well, that's that then. We'll have tea, and then I can die in peace.
But what about me, Father?
Well, you don't have to die yet, my boy. You're far too young.
No, Father, I didn't mean that. You haven't given me anything.
Haven't I? Oh, dear, it's really very difficult, my boy, because unless I've forgotten something, there's nothing else to leave. And that's a problem, isn't it, Puss? You were listening, Puss, and you definitely said you were asleep. I don't think that's very nice of you, and under the circumstances... Wait a minute, I've got it.
Got what, Father?
The Puss. Or rather, you've got him, youngest son. You've got Puss. I'll give you Puss.
Thank you, Father.
That's perfectly splendid, then. All settled and satisfied. All of you get no money. Eldest, the mill. Next eldest or youngest, the ass. And youngest, the puss. How fortune smiles upon you all.
We don't hear the miller's voice any more, because after tea, he did just what he said he'd do. He climbed back into bed, very full and content, took a big sigh, and died. And now the youngest son is walking slowly into the forest, head bowed and looking very, very sorry for himself. He's kicking at the sticks and stones and muttering away to himself. Just listen.
A cat? What's the use of a cat? I can't sell it. They're 10 a penny. He's too small to carry me or my loads, and not strong enough to pull a cart. And this is too near the ogre's country to be safe on my own. Puss wouldn't be able to defend me. A cat? What good is a cat to anyone? If he'd given me something useful, I could grow or I could wear. Something nice to eat or hunt with, like a bow, an arrow or spear. Or an animal trained to protect me, like a lion, or a wolf, or a bear. But what have I got? Most certainly not. Not a spear, not a bear, but a cat. That's that. I admit that I'm his youngest, and I can't expect a great deal. Just a bed to lie my head on, and a really jolly good meal. Washed down with a bottle of cider, with a steak, or some fish, or some veal. But what have I got? Most certainly not. Not a steak, not a meal, but a cat. That's that. I know I'm not very clever, so he might have left me a brain. I could be conceited and cunning, and would really enjoy being vain. I could even walk with a swagger, with his cloak, and his hat, and his cane. But what have I got? Most certainly not. Not a cane, not a brain, but a cat. That's that. But what can I get with a fur-coated pet? A meow kind of row.
Meow.
From a cat. That's that.
Meow.
Oh, shut up.
Perhaps I'm more use than you think.
Who said that?
I did.
Who?
Me. Puss.
You? Cats don't speak people's language.
This one does. And perhaps he can do other things as well.
Like what, for instance?
Like bringing you good fortune.
I just can't believe my ears. Let's sit down a moment, Puss.
Certainly. But would you tickle me under the chin, please, while you're starting to believe your ears? It helps me to think.
But what are you thinking about?
You. And me, too. You see, Master, I have to admit that, like all cats, I'm very selfish. If I can bring you good fortune, then it must be good for me, too.
I don't want to offend you, Puss, but you are only a cat. How on earth can you help me to make my fortune?
Don't forget how surprised you were when you heard me speaking human talk. You may well be in for some more surprises.
What kind of surprises?
You must wait and see, Master. You must trust me. You will live here in this old barn for a few days. Each evening I will return and bring you food. But in return, I want a couple of things from you.
Yes, of course, Puss. What are they?
A sack.
What size?
Puss cat size.
One puss cat size sack. Right. What else?
A pair of boots. In fact, an absolutely magnificent pair of boots.
Boots? Boots? What on earth does a puss want boots for?
To walk in, of course.
But you've got pads on your paws.
Then I'll have padded boots.
You'll need two pairs.
Why?
You've got two pairs of feet.
I only want one pair, Master. A magnificent pair. To place on my back legs so that I can walk upright in human fashion. for my front paws, I may well acquire an inexpensive pair of mittens.
One pair, absolutely magnificent pair, puss-size boots. Right.
We'll shake paws on it.
And so Puss became Puss in Boots from now on. He is, of course, very skilled at catching rats and mice, particularly because he lived at a mill all his life. So with his boots and sack, off he goes. And he's heading for the corner of a large field where he knows there's a rabbit village. He's stopped now, and he's putting some lush green lettuce and bran in the bottom of the sack. He's putting the sack on the ground now, and he's leaving the neck wide open. Now he's lying down, pretending to sleep by making a purr snore. He's trying to outwit the rabbits. Listen. And yes, he's succeeding, for here come not one but three little plump rabbits. They're sniffing at the sack, and now they're climbing inside. And, oh my goodness, here come two more. And they're going inside too. I can see their little tails bobbing up and down as they gobble up the lettuce. Puss has got one eye open, and I think he's counting the tails. He's opening the other eye now, and I think I know what he's going to do. Yes, yes, he's going to pounce. He's tying the neck of the sack with a long piece of grass, and now he's jumped up and is swinging the sack backwards and forwards.
Swing to the front and swing to the back. Five fat bunny rabbits caught in a sack. Swing to the front and swing to the back. Five fat bunny rabbits caught in a sack. My incredible ability to think with great agility of schemes like catching rabbits by noticing their habits. So their appetite I whet as they gobble up the lettuce. And when their tails are sticking up, the sack I'm busy picking up. I'm sure you'll say that there was never cat or kitten quite so clever. Swing to the front and swing to the back. Five fat bunny rabbits caught in a sack. Swing to the front and swing to the back. Five fat bunny rabbits caught in a sack. The bunny's new togetherness is due to Pussy's cleverness on hatching plots of quality disguised as mere frivolity. They thought that I was sleeping when really I was peeping. You should have heard the dreadful din. I pounced and then they all fell in. I caused their present unplanned huddle without a slip, mistake, or muddle. Swing to the front and swing to the back. Five fat bunny rabbits caught in a sack. Swing to the front and swing to the back. Five fat bunny rabbits caught in a sack.
And now Puss in Boots is striding along the lane with the sack over his shoulder, and he's heading straight for the king's palace. I wonder what he's going there for. He's reached the great doors, and he's going to ring the bell.
Who's there?
An emissary from the Marquis of Carabas.
Puss must have invented that name for his master. I wonder if the palace guards will let him in.
Make way for the emissary from the Marquis of Carabas. Your Majesty, the emissary from the Marquis of Carabas craves audience.
Ah, delighted. Have him enter.
Your Majesty, he has entered.
Has he, by Jove? I can't for the life of me see him.
Your Majesty.
Ah, yes. Welcome, my good man. Wait a moment. What have we here? It's not a good man at all, but no doubt a good puss. A royal welcome, nevertheless.
I am Puss in Boots, Your Majesty. And my master, the Marquis of Carabas, sends you his compliments and four rabbits.
The most unusual emissary. A talking cat, eh? You're not a puss cat, but a puss chat, eh? What? Puss chat. I like that. I approve heartily. A talking cat, eh? Well, it shows initiative. Now, Puss, tell me again. What has the Marquis sent me?
Compliments and four rabbits, sire.
I can't eat compliments, can I? But I can eat rabbits. And not only can I will. Rabbit pie. It's my favourite dish. Seldom have it. That horrible ogre traps them all. Well, you're a brave fellow, Puss in Boots, and so is your master. I hope to meet him some day.
You will, sire. You will.
Rabbit pie. Oh, delicious. I tell you what, we'll have a rabbit pie banquet this very evening. Oh. Puff the pastry, grind the gravy. I simply can't wait. Rabbit pie.
Puss is now hurrying back across the fields, having eaten an enormous meal in the royal kitchens. Now, you will remember he caught 5 rabbits, but only gave the king 4. He's keeping one back for his master. And every day he goes to the palace with his catch and then returns to his master with food. The king becomes more and more impressed with the Marquis of Carabas and Puss in Boots, for as the days passed, Puss was bringing him not only rabbits, but pheasants and woodcocks. And now it is nearly 2 weeks since Puss first put on his boots, and he's sitting beside his master, who is tucking into a huge plate of roast pheasant, roast potatoes, cabbage, beans, and a few blades of grass, twigs, and leaves mixed in by accident.
Early to bed tonight, Master.
You always go to bed early.
Good heavens! What was that?
Only the ogre.
Only? What do you mean, only? He might come crashing through the forest at any time, and that would be the end of you and me.
If you do what I tell you, you have nothing to fear.
What do I do then?
You go to bed early. Tomorrow, Master, you get up with me at dawn. Tomorrow, Master, everything I have worked for will come to pass if you do as I ask. And there's one thing more to remember. From tomorrow morning, you are the Marquis of Carabas.
What did you say?
From tomorrow, you are the Marquis of Carabas.
Not
another word, Master. To bed.
And would you believe it? Puss's master, I mean the Marquis of Carabas, is going straight off to bed like a good little boy. And now it's morning. A beautiful morning. And Puss and his master are striding along by the river. They're just approaching a lane which leads to a bridge over the river. And wait a moment. Puss has suddenly stopped.
Wait here, Master.
But why?
I'm just going onto that bridge. Wait here.
Puss is running onto the bridge, and now he's stopped and he's peering into the distance along the lane over the other side. He's got his paw up, shielding his eyes from the sun. Now he's running back to his master.
Quick! Master, take off your clothes.
I beg your pardon?
Take off your clothes!
Take yours off.
Don't be silly. I can't take my fur off. Do as you're told. Quickly!
But quickly! Can I keep my underclothes on?
Yes, of course you can, but hurry.
Oh, all right. Shirt. Trousers. Shoes. Socks. There. Will that do?
Good.
What do I do now?
Jump in the river.
What did you...
Jump in the river!
It's cold. Puss, what are you doing with my clothes?
Throwing them into the water.
Why? Puss, the current is carrying my clothes away.
That's right. You'll never have to wear those old clothes again.
Help me, Puss.
It's cold, and I can't get out of the water without my clothes. What am I going to do?
Trust me, Master. Stay in the water. It won't be for long.
And now Puss is running back onto the bridge, and he's waving his paws in the air. There's a big coach coming, drawn by 6 magnificent horses. And if Puss is not very careful, he'll get run over. I can see a great big crown on top of the coach. And why, yes, it's the king's coach, and he and his daughter are in it. Puss is shouting to them to stop.
Stop! Stop! Help! Help! Your Royal Highnesses and your Royal Horsenesses, please stop!
What's up there, coachman? What's the trouble? Why have we stopped?
Your Majesty.
Well, I'll be throned. It's friend Puss in Boots. Morning to you, Puss. You look in a real tiswald. What can be the trouble on such a fine spring morning?
It's my master, Your Majesty, the Marquis of Carabas. He is bathing in the river, and some robbers have stolen his clothes. So he can't come out of the water, and I fear he will drown if he stays in there much longer.
Sound the alarm. Rescue the Marquis. Guards, jump in the river. Fetch some clothes. Blow the bugles. Fetch towels. Do anything, but don't panic. Don't panic, hurry, scurry, move, action, worry, flurry, quick, coachman, all keep calm, help, guards, sound the alarm. Don't panic, shocking and awful, such villains, so unlawful, quick, guardsmen, all keep cool, shout, scream, jump in the pool, fire, water, flaring, daring, stop, servants, glaring, swearing, dashed, idiot, human male. You're standing on the Puss's tail. Don't panic. Do your best, you. Rush onwards to the rescue. Don't panic. Scream or shout. Yell quietly. Get him out. Yell quietly. Get him out!
Now I see what our cunning Puss is up to. The guards have fetched the most splendid uniform for his master, and as soon as he gets into it, he'll look like a marquis. They've pulled him out of the river, and they're drying him in the most majestical towel I've ever seen. He's dressing very quickly, and the clothes fit him like a glove. And the gloves fit him like a glove, too. He really does look splendid.
Meow, Your Majesty, Your Royal Highness, may I present my master, the Marquis of Carabas?
You may indeed, and I'm absolutely delighted to meet you, Carabas. Meet my daughter, too.
I'm very happy to meet you, Marquis.
Your Majesty, Your Royal Highness?
I am indeed thankful to have had the chance of rendering you some small service in return for your great and many generosities.
My what?
All the rabbits and woodcocks and pheasants and things you were given His Majesty.
What? Oh, yes, I see. Why, yes, of course. Yes, it was a great pleasure, sire.
That's right, Your Majesty.
Tell you what, Carabas, we've had a right welter of feasts from the delicacies your Puss has brought us from your estates.
My what?
Estates. Lands!
And my kitchens are bulging with new recipes. And what's more, I'm bulging from sampling them, eh? Put on inches round the waist, haven't I, my dear? Hardly tell the difference between me and your mother. What? What?
Daddy, you shouldn't say such things. Why don't we invite the Marquis to ride with us?
A splendid idea. I dare say those nasty robbers made off with your horse, too. So come on, young man, climb in. Now you, Puss, jump in, too. Plenty of room next to the Marquis.
Thank you, Your Majesty, but no. I have my master's business to attend to.
But Puss, he's gone, by Jove. And at what speed? Oh, well, we'd better be on our way. Blow the bugles.
Yippee! Go on.
I can see the Puss's master, the Marquis of Carabas, gazing at the princess sitting opposite him, and she is shyly looking down, not noticing the countryside at all. But we must catch up with Puss, who is almost flying across the countryside. I think those boots must be magic, too. I don't know whether he realizes it, but he's in Ogre's land now, and it's very dangerous. There are lots of men working in the fields, and he's jumping over the gate and shouting at them.
Hey! Hello there! Can you hear me? Listen carefully. Later on this morning, the king will be passing by in his coach. He'll probably stop and ask you who this land belongs to and who you work for. You must answer, the Marquis of Carabas.
But it don't belong to, and we don't work for no Marquis. We works for the Ogre.
No, that's right. We don't work for the Marquis. We work for the Ogre.
You don't any longer. You work for the Marquis of Carabas. And if you don't tell the king this, he'll shut you up in his deepest and darkest dungeon. Just remember, you work for the Marquis of Carabas.
And he's flying off again, and the labourers are all scratching their heads and wondering what it's all about. Puss is now stopped at another big field, and he's saying exactly the same thing to the men working in it as he did when he stopped just now. Off he goes again. I wonder what he's thinking up next.